Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Supernatural Radio Show. Tonight, as you might know, we have the wonderful, talented, amazing Yvette Scott, psychic. And she's just fantastic. You know, I think I bother her too much with questions about my own life. But she certainly has helped me to see the light about many things. So I appreciate her very much. And we've become really good friends. So I'm just so happy about that. So we are going to welcome Yvette on right now. And we'll see how she is. How are you, Yvette? Hello.
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I've been rushing around trying to get stuff for a school project that I found out about an hour ago that's due tomorrow. I love that.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, what is the project?
It's like, okay. It's a timeline, she said, of her. So I guess we have to find photos now, and of her growing up. I don't know.
Yvette, wouldn't it be funny if she brought in like pictures of like these old pictures, like and told the teacher it was a different timeline?
It was a past life. You know, she will watch that. You know that commercial? There's a commercial for Shirley Temple stuff, mm-hmm. And she has told me, and I know Shirley Temple's still alive. She has told me over and over again that she used to be Shirley Temple.
Oh,
and I'm
my
like,
God.
I mean, I can't argue with her. There are such things, I believe, as called walk-ins.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Huh,
I don't know if she was actually good. Shirley Temple for a while. Or she says, I remember having the pony, because on the commercial there's a pony. She says, I remember having the pony, and I remember having the curls, and I remember singing and dancing. And I was like, okay.
Wow, geez. Well, yeah. She's, you know, I know I know your daughter sometimes acts like Shirley Temple, doesn't she?
Yes, she's super dramatic, and I'm hoping in the school that I've got her in, it's a school of creativity. In fifth grade, you actually get to declare, like, dance or music or, you know, something, or drama, and I'm really hoping she goes for drama because she's shy. But she's so dramatic and funny. I mean, she could be a stand-up comedian for children, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Although she's doing this thing now where if you say, what are you doing? She'll say, what's up? And gives you this, like, gangster-type look, you know. It's driving me nuts. Like, what's up? And I said, why are you doing that? She said, because I'm awesome. And she gives me the peace sign. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, you got your hands full there, I'll tell you.
Yes, definitely.
So for those who don't really know your background, Yvette, can I just sort of ask you, because I've been thinking a lot lately about the Virgin Mary, and, of course, I remember the story you told me about her, and I just wondered if you could share that.
Okay, well, my dad got really, really sick. And my mom and my brother were convinced that he was going to die. And he had been sick for a couple of years with horrible pains in his abdomen. And he thought he had cancer, and he refused to go to the doctor because he wasn't going to be diagnosed and die. You know, he would just refuse to go to the doctor. And so they decided to take a trip to England. And we had been doing, mom does a lot of Reiki, and we'd been doing a lot of Reiki, and she knew that he had a choice to make and that if he wanted to stay or if he wanted to go or whatever. So they all just left, up and left. So I was the only kid around. And he gets put in the hospital for emergency surgery because what was actually wrong with him was that his gallbladder was so rotten and horrible that it had made him septic. So he was close to dying, but it wasn't cancer. It was just rotten. And so he was in the hospital, and then he didn't die. He lived. He woke up from surgery after surgery, and he said, "Did you hear that music?" And I said, "No, what music?" And he said, "It's beautiful music. It's playing." And he said, "I know now all about unconditional love," which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then my mom came back, and because she had really honestly kind of made peace with herself that he was going, that this is how he was going to leave, that he was leaving under his own terms and that he wasn't going to be alive. So there was real awkwardness between them because she expected him to die, not in a bad way, not in a morbid way. But, you know, she just, it was just, there was an awkwardness between them, and they were just acting weird around each other, you know. And I've been sitting up there for days at the hospital, and mom's there finally, and I'm like relieved of my duty. And so we were staying in a motel, and so that night, and I got a horrible sinus infection, no doubt from being irritated by them, you know.
Right.
And I was, you know, feeling terrible, and we were in this motel, and we were asleep in the middle of the night, and I had to pee, and I got up, and when I got up and went to the bathroom, standing right there by the bathroom door was this lady, that apparition. You know, she was translucent and blue. She was glowing blue. And I said, you know, kind of stopped. And I said, "What do you want?" She said, "I want to talk to you." She said, "I've come to help you," or something like that. And I said, I was so disgusted by my parents, the way they were acting. I was tired and everything. I told her, I said, "I really do not, I don't have time for this right now. I'm sick. Go talk to my mom. She likes this kind of stuff." And I didn't really even say it that nicely. went in the bathroom, did what I had to do, come out. She's still standing there, went back to the bed, and went back to sleep.
Wow.
Well, and later I realized that she was a guide of mine, and that she was, because every time I saw her from then on, she would bring the smell of roses to me, which, you know, is a kind of a symbol or a something that happens around Mother Mary,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I dissed Mother Mary.
You dissed Mary.
I totally blew her off. But what she's come to mean to me personally is that whenever I'm doing any healing work, Reiki or anything, or trying to help someone heal through something, you know, either physical or spiritual, she is the one that comes. I will immediately, and when I did an enormous amount of healing work on myself through Reiki with my mother, and every time we were doing the healing work, and I was doing that enormous releasing of past trauma, she was there. So she's very, very much personally important to me.
Yes.
In my healing work.
Right.
I call her the blue lady because, you know, I don't call her Mother Mary. I call her the blue lady because she glows blue to me when I see her apparition.
Right, right. Yeah, wow. So when, you know, say you're doing a reading, has she ever come to you when you're doing readings for other people?
If we're talking about something that is very, you know, the readings that I do, like on the radio, they're just snapshots. But I do have people who come to me where we do some intensive work, and there's a succession of, you know, of readings. And people are releasing stuff. And when we get into the intensive stuff, that stuff that's very traumatic for them and hard for them to let go of, I will smell the roses and I will know that she's there. Now, when I do Reiki, she's almost always there. If I do Reiki on someone, she is almost always there. I cannot think of a time that she was not present in the room while I was doing Reiki on someone.
Right. So
she's very much a healing energy. She's very much, for me personally, she's very much a healing energy.
Right. Now, what about those of us that want to contact Mary and we're not psychic? I mean, you know, what would you say to somebody if they wanted to invoke Mary? Or, like, how would we go about
doing
that?
I think all you have to do is ask, actually. And she's there because she is such a nurturing energy and such a healing energy. And I think that she and then just notice if you don't smell roses or if the, you know, or something like that. Because to me, that is just her way of saying, I mean, I think she's there for anyone who wants to ask for her. I really do. I don't know that you might, you know, if you're not psychic and you don't have, you're not a seer, you know, you're not whatever, you know, you don't see apparitions or whatever, you know, you may not actually see her, but I think you'll feel her presence because it's just like to me, it's like somebody wrapped me in their arms, you know.
Right.
Like when you were a little girl or a little boy or something and something hurt you and your mother gathered you up, you know, or somebody gathered you up in their arms and comforted you.
Right. What a nice feeling.
That's the feeling.
You know?
Yeah. It's a wonderful feeling.
Gee.
It's very healing, you know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Very healing.
Well, here, I'm dedicating this show to the Virgin Mary. I love her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I do too.
I hope she's in the lives of all the listeners, and thank you. So are you ready to do some readings?
I would love to, yes.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break, you guys, back in about 3 minutes, and I'm just going to play a short commercial and a short song, and we will be right back.
Visit purpleplates.com today. For over 40 years, the Purple Energy Plates have been delivering amazing results for their many customers. Inspired by the great genius Nikola Tesla, the harmony, healing, and energetic effects of the plates have proven over and over to be beneficial and often miraculous to thousands of customers. With their money-back guarantee and the many benefits, how can you afford not to get one? Check their site for daily specials and choose from their many energy products. You won't be sorry. Visit them today at purpleplates.com for mind, body, and spirit. And expect a miracle.
Okay, and that was the music of Mark Mulcahy. The song's called Cookie Jar. I love that. Check him out, you guys, on Amazon. Buy his latest CD. It's fantastic. Mark Mulcahy. Okay, so we are back with Yvette Scott. And
Hello.
we're going to take the first caller, which is Melvin. And how you doing, Melvin?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Melvin.
Hey, how are you, ma'am? Yes, ma'am.
I'm doing just great. What's on your mind, Melvin?
A lot on my mind, but I just wanted to, you know, see can I get a general of what's coming up for me. I'm struggling in all areas of my life, so I really don't know what, you know. What
well, I don't know what your religious background is, Melvin, but your prayers are being heard. So I know you're praying and asking for help, and they are being heard. And part of your situation is coming from other people's stuff you have no control over. So you're having to kind of sit back and watch other people get their act together before you can actually move forward. But I see a lot of financial victory coming and victory in, I see it around you right now, actually, victory in not only giving but also in receiving. So if there's a part of you that's, you know, been kind of hesitant to take help or to ask for help, then it's actually, because you like to help people so much, it's actually,
Melvin,
actually,
do you have the radio? Sorry, Yvette. Melvin, do you have the radio on in the background?
I'm sorry. Okay.
So when you allow people to help you, then you are actually helping them. So it's a give-and-take situation. So you can't always be the one that's giving the help. You can also be the one receiving it or vice versa. It's got to be kind of a balance, but there is victory around you. So, and you are not being ignored, whatever your belief system is, they're hearing your prayers, your angels, your God, whatever you believe. Your prayers are being heard. And what's important for you to do, because there are some circumstances over which you have absolutely no control, what is important for you to do is to really get very clear on what it is that you want from life.
Yes, yeah.
You know, because you can't, I just feel like you need to be more focused, perhaps, on what's really important. You
yes,
know, what's
I mean,
really, what really matters in life to you, family, you know, and health and those sort of things. You know, it's not always material things. Yes, we need to have our material, you know, we need to have a place to live. We need to have shelter. We need to have safety. We need to have all of those basic needs met. But we also need to remember what is really important. You know, if we're not driving that brand new car, but we get up every day and we're alive, sometimes that's enough.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, and also giving and receiving, and also to understand that this is a situation. The situation that you're in also is due to other people and their stuff of which you have no control over. You know.
Yeah.
So you can only do what you can do.
Yes, ma'am.
So does that make sense?
Yes, it does. When you say other people's stuff, is it like somebody going to see me suffer or go through bad, you know, not being successful in life?
You mean like people wishing you harm or ill intent?
Yes, ma'am, yes.
I feel like there is someone around you that does a lot of chit-chatting and talking in people's ears that is a kind of a bitter person and the best advice I could give you, if you know who this person is that you cut them off. And you can't be held back by other people's negativeness. It's not even so much negative towards you as it is to just a general negative attitude about life. Life sucks for them. It's never going to get any better. And it, you know, if a butterfly landed on their nose and it was the most beautiful butterfly they've ever seen in their life, they would have something negative to say about it. You know?
Right. Yeah.
It brings you down because you're basically optimistic. You're basically, you believe in the power of the universe, the flow of the universe. You believe in the ebb and the flow of the universe. You understand that? On some level, and you understand that things are going to work out for you. But there is someone, it feels female to me, and it feels like they're constantly talking negative when you're around them. And you're going to have to make a choice, and the choice, the best choice for you to remain centered is to not be around any of those kind of people. And it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to release, and it's hard to let go. Of negative people. And you know, negativity can come in many forms and fashions, and this is a lesson that I've learned very recently. You know, I may have already known it and learned it before, but it seemed like it had to be redone for me. And that is that sometimes people can be underhandedly negative, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that, you know. And once you know that that's going on, then you separate yourself from that negativity because you don't need that in your life to bring you down. You got stuff to do and places to go and a life to live, a happy life, you know?
Yes, that's true. And could it be my ex-wife?
Could be. Because it is a woman, and there is a kind of a romantic connection there or, a romantic choice around it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, and you know, there's other people too. You know, if there's other people in your life, just don't allow yourself. Once you recognize that they're negative, or that they have a negative view on life, you know, you can say to them, you know, really, you should see the good, the happy. But you can't make them be any different than what they are. I mean, you can't change people. People really don't change.
Right.
I mean, not without a lot of work and a lot of commitment to that. You know, so basically you can be fairly safe in assuming that if a person is, they're going to be the way they are, you know?
Right.
So you have to cut that out of your life.
Yeah, you're right. And because, you know, some of my former employees came by my house the other day, and this guy that, you know, I used to work at a mental hospital here in Georgia, and he came by because this guy here, we just straight up don't get along because the fact that he had slandered my name all over the hospital. And you know, I told him, you know, I told my supervisor, look, you know, talk to this man. But he came by my house the other day. But when he got here, he was very quiet. He didn't say much. And we were sitting around in my living room. And I was thinking, okay, now this guy here came for something else. He didn't come to visit me. He's a negative person.
Well, it could be that he needed an infusion of, you know, negative people are low on energy, and they kind of need to feed off other people, and maybe he needed an infusion, you know. But those are the kind of people I'm saying. You have to say, no more. I'm not going to be around this anymore. I don't care what your agenda is, you know.
Right.
But I can't help you. I can't give you positivity. You know, I can't hold you up anymore. I need to walk forward in my own life, you know. Those are the people I think you should cut off, you know.
Yeah.
And who knows why he came by, you know.
Yeah, you're right. And what can I do to protect myself from, you know, being around these type people? I know to stay away from them, but any kind of ritual or anything.
Remove yourself from their presence. Well, lots of people, I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the internet about how to protect yourself, and everybody has their own personal way. Some people put a bubble around them. Some people put salt down. Some people visualize, you know, different grounding, you know, roots into the earth, and, you know. Me, personally, I put a wall of roses up between me and the person because, to me, that's just my own personal visualization that works. But you know, and you have to be diligent about it, and you have to do it, you know, you can't just do it for a while and then forget about it, because it just
right.
seems like it takes reinforcement, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Okay, Melvin, we're going to have to let you go in a second, because we have a lot of callers.
Okay. Yeah, but when they left, I did put sea salt around.
Yep, that's a good idea. And another thing you can do is sweep your house. You know, sweep your house, and when you sweep it, visualize being, you know, that negativity sweeping out, and then just don't put sea salt down, you know, at your threshold or at the walk up to your house, and say as you do that, you know, say nothing but, you know, no one or nothing that doesn't have my greatest good can cross this line. I mean, you know, it's just whatever your belief system is.
And let me just add one more thing, Melvin. The next time the guy comes to your house, tell him to get the hell out.
You know what? I promise you there would not be a next time. And I made up my mind that same night, and I know you have a lot of callers, and I said to myself, I could feel the negativity in my living room. You know, I'm okay, these guys here, I don't even know what they're coming around me for. You know what I mean? We didn't get along at work, so you know we're not going to get along sitting in my living room. You know, so you come here to bring evil towards me.
Right.
You know, you just come here to bring evil towards
sage.
Me. Some what?
Sage.
What is
Burn
that?
Burn some sage. Sage you can get at, you can get online through Amazon, sage bundles. It's just, or you can get loose sage, whatever. It's just a plant. And it's a kind of a smudging, Native American thing.
Okay.
Where you just smudge your house. You know?
Yes, okay.
Or burn some sage, get rid of it.
Thank you. I love both
You're
of
welcome.
You all. Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, love you.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, take it easy. Ma'am? Thank you.
Okay. God bless. Thank you all.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
I just love him. Okay, next we have Tiffany. Hey,
Tiffany,
how are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you both?
Okay.
I'm doing just fine. What's on your mind?
I told the person earlier who took the call that my question was whatever you guys picked up either about career or a relationship, but if you want me to narrow it even more, I can do so.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what this is about, but I see a situation in which you're doing some fretting over it, like almost pacing back and forth. Maybe metaphorically, maybe not actually pacing, but just sort of, and not sleeping well and everything. But I really feel like that you're at a point in this situation where there's nothing that you haven't faced that you're going to have to face. You're not done yet. It's not all in place yet, but you're working on it, and you're at the point of where you just got a little bit more to push through, and what's holding you there at that point is just fear, because you have had a kind of a rough time of it, you know, in this situation. And so you're just like, oh, God, I don't think I can do anymore. I don't think I can face anything else. But the good thing is there's nothing that you would have to face that you haven't already faced and beat to have gotten to this point. There's some victory from something in the past, and I feel like you've something that either a person or a situation is going to help you finish off what you're trying to do. And then that's going to give you everything you've always wanted, basically. It's pretty kind of cool. It's like an end of a journey, a really, really long journey. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. It sounds like my current career/job. So I'm 2 months in my new job, and it's so difficult that I'm thinking, okay, did I make a mistake by leaving my prior job?
You said it was difficult?
Yes.
You said it was
stressful. It's overwhelming.
yes. Well, yes, and that, that you're at a point where you want to, if you can muster, you can push through this, because you, and pull on something from that you've learned from the past, something that you've happened to you that was a lesson to you. Does that make sense? Or even somebody in the past where you were victorious, and that will help you get through this. And I think if you push on through this situation, then you're going to have everything you've ever wanted. It just feels like, I got the world card, and I just feel like you're going to, you know, it's not the end of the journey, but it's definitely a point where you can kind of sit for a minute and say, wow, I really accomplished something, you know. But you're kind of at a point where you're a little bit stuck because you're a little bit afraid to push on. But there's nothing that you're going to have to face that isn't going to, that you haven't already faced before and beat. So don't let that fear keep you in this one spot. Push through that. Push through it, because it's going to give you the world. It's going to give you everything that you've ever wanted. And it's not the end. There's another journey beyond that, but you don't want, you know, that's for later. Get through this right now.
So since you pulled the world card, does that mean that, like, at the end it's going to get better?
The way that I see it, the way that I understand the tarot journey is, you know, the first card is the Fool, and the Fool is kind of walking off a cliff in most of your traditional decks, and he's got a little doggy with him, and he's kind of at a crossroads, and he's kind of taking a leap of faith, and he starts this journey, and the journey ends at the World card, and the World is kind of a culmination of learning all of this stuff along the path of the tarot, the path of the journey of the tarot, and it just kind of means a moment to bask in knowing that you've completed, that you did it. You did all the steps that you were supposed to. So that's what the World card means to me. And then you start all over again. You start on a new grand adventure, you know, in your life. Because life's kind of about adventures, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it doesn't, we don't have to be, I know, there's such enthusiasm. I mean, we don't have to be locked in at any moment, at any time. We can change our minds. We do not have to be locked into anything. And so if you're the kind of person that is scared or is going to get bored easily or something like that, and you're worried, you get to change your mind, and you can be anything you want. You can wake up every day and decide to be who you want to be. You know, I used to get up and say, today I'm going to be a rock star. And so I would dress like a rock star. I'd put my makeup on so it looked like a rock star, you know, and then I would pretend, you know, kind of say my limo is picking me up. Of course, I was going out to my little crappy car and getting in, driving myself to work. But, you know, I made myself feel like a rock star. And, you know, before noon, I actually kind of was living a rock star life, you know. Somebody come along and say, hey, can I go get you lunch? Yeah, please do, you know. And that's my personal assistant. You know, but we get to do that. We get to live our lives like that. It's a grand adventure. Every day is a grand adventure. And if you look at it like that, you know, it's a journey. It's not about point A to point B. It's about what we do along the way. It's cool.
Right.
It's something that it's amazing that we're allowed to do this.
Okay. So I'll try and be more positive, I guess.
It's
hard. I know some days it's hard, but just know that you've done so much along the way so far in your life. I mean, you really have. You've gone through some stuff, and there's nothing that you're going to have to face from this point on that you haven't already faced and beat. So that takes the fear away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what's beyond what you can see is what's, you know, is amazing. You got the World card. That's the coolest card. For me, that's the coolest card in the deck. because it just means you're, things are just going to come together for you. You have the world. The world is your oyster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to get out from underneath that fretting and that worry and that constant, almost looped thinking, you know, where you kind of go over and over and over the same thing in your head. And you know, if you can get out from under that, you know, and see that this is a grand adventure that you're on. And this, my mom always says this, and this, it used to drive me crazy, but I totally get it now. This is just a small ripple in, you know,
in
the big picture of life. It's a small ripple, you know.
Right.
It doesn't always feel small, and it's not to say that your problems aren't important, you know, and aren't big. They could be very, very big. But it's just really, when you're able to look back, you'll see that this is, you know, this was just a small bubble on the grand adventure of life.
Mm-hmm. Eva, mm-hmm. I feel like you're reading me. Yeah. Tiffany,
I hope that helps,
that
Tiffany.
Helps you. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. No, it's not easy to pull yourself up when, you know, all the doubts. I mean, Jesus, it's friggin' hard to love life times, a lot of times.
I agree.
But,
and I've had many a times when I didn't. But I feel like if we could, you know, if we could just remember sometimes and take our joys from little stuff, you know.
Yeah, and also,
and what's really important.
I think it's more important, or for me anyways, this is what helps me, is when I pay attention not to myself, but to other people that need help or whatever. I mean, get outside of yourself and see, you know, there's a whole world, and you are, you know, the world is blessed to have you, and that's what you're here for. You know what I mean? Okay.
My mom has a guide that she refers to as the Ancient One. And he's actually, I've done a lot of work with him too, but she calls him the Ancient One. And he always would tell her, and he would tell her to tell me, to get over yourself.
Right.
And literally, if you think about what you're saying when you say get over yourself, means transcend. Transcend.
Yeah.
Get above. What does transcend mean? Get above.
Right.
Get above the situation and look down.
Exactly.
Because if you're in the middle of it, it feels so bad. But if you can get up, if you can transcend it and get above the situation.
Exactly. There was a quote that I read once that said, you know, live as if you're already past all endings. Or something like that. Such a great line. Okay, we have Mikey Hart on the line here.
Hi.
Oh,
thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, sure. What's going on?
Hey, well, that's why I called to find out. I never had a reading from either one of you ladies, so I thought, oh, well, this is a good opportunity.
Yeah, well, it's good for you to talk to Yvette.
What was your name? I'm sorry?
My name is Sharon.
Sharon? Okay. What's on your mind? Do you have something specific on your mind?
Well, yeah, I'd like to see what you see around finances.
Okay, so I see sort of a, I don't know if you've had a financial disaster or a really hard time with finances, but I feel like there's been a degree of protection placed around you. And the path back is going to involve methodical plotting. Not plotting, but plodding.
Yes.
You know, one foot in front of the other. Take it slowly, very methodically. It's going to be a lot of hard work, and it's not always going to be that exciting. But you will get back to where you need to be. And another thing I see is that the lesson that has come with all of this is you've been able to see a situation where you might have been very narrow-minded, you've been able to flip yourself around and see it sort of from a 180-degree different opinion. And that's been very good for your spiritual path. Also, the same thing I was telling the caller before, there's nothing you're going to have to face that you haven't faced before. You've faced everything, you know, it's like I've been reading the Harry Potter books. And so I've been thinking a lot about, you know, kind of the little messages that I've gotten from Harry Potter. And, you know, where there's all those trials and tribulations that he had to go through. And he got to a point where there was nothing that he hadn't done, he hadn't faced, that he wasn't going to have to face. You know, so it became easier for him. So that it's going to become easier for you. And the grand thing that's come out of all of the financial problems and issues and difficulties is the fact that you've gained a ability to see situations, whereas you might have only saw them from one direction before, you know. You've actually gained a spiritual ability to flip, and not just finances, but any other situations, to flip it around and see it from 180 degrees different perspective. And that has been spiritual growth for you.
Yes, yes, indeed. Okay, cool. Sounds good.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does. I've been really working a lot with Saint Germain and trying to understand alchemy and that kind of thing. So.
Oh, that's cool. I don't know a lot about that, but I do know that's the violet flame, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've seen some of those meditations and actually done a few. I find that vibration very healing for me personally. So that is really cool. And I love alchemy.
Yes,
me too.
It's an adventure.
It's like, you know, scientists call it chemistry, basically. But it's more than just chemistry, but there is elements of the chemistry there, you know, where some things happen immediately, you know, alchemy-wise, and some things are more of a long-term reaction to say, you know.
Well,
so
yeah.
It's really cool.
Alchemy, alchemy, very interesting. That's excellent, Sharon, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, well, thank you.
You'll have to tell
fun.
Us what you know about it.
Well, I'm still learning. I'm still very much
Well, you, yeah. Well, when you feel comfortable about it, you know, comfortable talking about it, it would be very interesting. I would be very interested in knowing what you know.
Me too, especially how to turn tin into gold.
Straw, no, you don't. It's straw that you turn into gold, right?
All right, Sharon, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Namaste.
Namaste. Okay, and we're going to have to, like, rush these along a little bit, Yvette, because there's a lot of callers. Okay, so next we have Mary. Hey, Mary.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been struggling with a financial issue for some time, and I'm having to sell my home. I'm wondering when you see this happening and... anything about the move.
Okay, so you are trying to sell your house and you want to know when it will sell?
Yes, and if I'll make a profit so that I can find someplace else to move.
I don't do time. I do a snapshot of what's going on around you right at this very moment. But if I was going to say about time, I would say it would be sometime in the summer, after the 6 month, which would be after June, and it would be you're going to have to let go of something that you're clinging to about the deal to facilitate it. Does that make sense?
Financially, are you saying?
Financially. So I don't know if it's like the price or the amount that you want to make off of it or what it is, but you're going to have to let go and kind of trust. You're going to have enough. You're going to have enough, but there's something about it financially that or even physically, that you're going to have to let go of in order to facilitate the movement of this. But I do see you moving. Would you be moving from a different town?
I'm not planning on moving away from the area. I want to stay close to the area because most of my contacts are here.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
For your job or for your business?
Well, I have a lot of friends in this area. I don't have any family, but I have a lot of friends in this area and a social circle and spiritual groups and.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, a lot of connections.
Yeah, I really feel like there's something you're going to have to release. You're going to have to release. And you may not even know consciously what it is right now. But the best thing, my advice would be to just, ask whoever, whatever your belief system is. You believe in angels or guides or whatever. Say, please take whatever I'm supposed to release. I don't even need to know. Just help me do it. Because it feels like to me that that's the sticking point. There's something you're going to have to let go of and trust and let go of it. You're clinging to it right now. You're clinging to it. And then that will facilitate this movement in your life, this selling of the house, this changing of where you live. And I do feel like you are. It will be happening in the summer, if you can release.
Well, my main concern is being able to stay financially where I'm at without losing the equity in my home. I'm at the point now where the payments will be escalating as well as other factors. So the move needs to be made as soon as possible because I won't be able to carry, the burden of the extra expense.
I feel like June, I don't do time very well because I really am just reading what's around you right now. But I know I see June, I mean, there's a six there. The sun is there, so that is a very hopeful, happy outcome card for you, and it also means summer.
It'll be on the market. It would be on the market approximately 6 months by the month of March.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that means anything.
I just feel like there's something that you're clinging to almost a fear of letting go and taking some sort of leap, of faith or phrase that comes to my mind sometimes, I get rhymes, and it's let go of the gate, don't be afraid to skate. I don't know why, that's just what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it's a big jump because it is my home, it is my first home, and I've worked very hard to get it and have it, so letting go is a difficult option because I'm not sure where I will end up.
Right. Well, I do feel like though that you've made peace with that. I feel when you talk about it, it feels like you've made peace with that part of it. So I'm not sure what other part of it you are holding onto, but it will go so much faster if you can take that leap. If you can let that part go, whatever that is.
Are you picking up anything about where I will eventually move to, whether it be a smaller dwelling or what type of a situation I will have after I leave? That might help a little.
I feel like you're going to be where do you live? Where do you want to stay, if you feel comfortable saying?
Well, I'm in Florida.
I feel like it's going to be over a bridge.
Over a bridge. Well, actually...
Yeah.
In a way, it's sort of a bridge where I'm at now. There's a bridge where cars go around and pass over, and there is a large community around me, so I don't know if I'll be staying within the immediate community.
Yeah, for some reason when you said that, I see you going over a bridge on your journey.
Okay. You don't pick up anything smaller?
No, I don't know about the smaller part.
Nothing else coming?
I don't see anything different.
Do you know if I'll be moving alone or if I'll have someone with me? when I change residence or anything different about the dwelling?
No, I don't see any of that. I feel like this is your journey, so maybe you are alone, but I don't know that for a fact. I only see you there. I mean, I only see you in the cards because I wouldn't be able to see someone else anyway because I'm reading your energy. But I feel like that this is going to happen if you can let go of the gate and go ahead and skate.
Right, right.
A big jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a journey to work on. It is.
And like I said, sometimes when I need to release stuff, I just ask him to take it away because I like to know every detail about it, but sometimes that's not good for me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No,
I get too bogged down in mourning over it, you know?
Yeah, it's not good for any of us, you know?
Like to plan, I've always, like, I wish I was one of those that used to, like they say, fly by the seat of your pants.
Yeah.
And I guess I did that when I was younger and learned hard lessons. So that.
Right.
Yeah, but Mary, even when we plan things, they don't come out as our plans, you know, that we laid out.
You're so right. Yeah, you're so right.
So it's like, yeah, live by the seat of your pants. Fly by the seat of your pants because that's all we got, man. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Gotten me in some jams, but I'm trying to get better and make better choices. Let's put it that way.
Well, but you're a different person than you were back then, you know? So you're going to make better choices. So you're not going to be all willy-nilly, you know, and scary. You know, so you can still kind of work with the flow of the universe and trust a little bit, but have practical common sense, you know, which you've earned because of the things that have happened, right?
I was just wondering if you had any insight.
Yeah. You know. Well, I wish you good luck on selling your house. I really do.
Thank you so much.
You are going to sell it.
Yeah, I just want to make enough so I can, you know, live comfortably. I don't want to have to give it away. You know what I'm saying? Some people think you should just give it up, you know, for whatever we want to give.
No, I don't think you're going to have to do that. I see you being comfortable and okay financially.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that at the very beginning, so.
I've been struggling real hard for a number of years, and it's probably the lowest point, one of the lowest points in my life, so that's my concern.
Yeah, hopefully and soon things will be better.
And soon. Yeah. Oh, and the purple plates, that's funny you should say that. I've had a purple plate, the Tesla plate, in my drawer for I don't know how many years that I've had, and I've used it for different pain things, and you can actually feel it drawing it out. And once in a while, I forget about it, and then I come across it, and I went, oh, that's right, I've got this purple plate, and I don't think too many people know about that. It's
no, but
neat.
Mary, you should use that. You should use that. That's positive energy, you know?
I need
it's a manifester too, right? You can use it to manifest, right?
Yeah.
Really? You could put the amount that you need.
Okay.
And put it on the plate.
You know, that's a good idea. Well, I need it for pain because I've had a lot of pain, physical pain. So I use it for pain. That's very good.
Excellent.
I have to check that website. I didn't know you could still get those.
Oh, yeah. Purpleplates.com.
And that's the Tesla plate, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I've heard a lot about that.
I'm going to put it in the chat room right now. Yeah,
very
so Mary, don't worry about, don't worry about anything. You're going to sell your house and you're going to have enough money to go on to a place that you really want to be. It's going to be fine.
That's what's important, where I really want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just me and my kitties, that's all I care about.
Right. All right, take it easy, Mary, and thank you for calling.
Thank you, ladies. Many blessings.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Yvette, we really got to hustle a little bit here.
Okay.
Okay, so we have Patricia at 505. Are you there, Patricia?
Yes, I am. Thank you, and I'll be very quick. Hi, Yvette. Thank you for doing reading for me. There is something that is really, really, I'm just so curious about, and it's driving me nuts. I crossed a path of a gentleman when I go walking, and he seems to show up just about everywhere I am, and today was a whole different territory, and he was there, and I'm just wondering, what is the universe trying to tell me here? Is this going to develop into something, or who is this person?
Well, is he, do you know who he is?
Absolutely not. He just, I'm just minding my own business. I'm going walking, and it's in a business complex area, and he showed up a few times.
Is it where you work?
Yes.
Okay,
right,
he
around
works there too.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. I said, I guess he probably works there too, huh? Somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine that the first area that I went walking, I think it was past his building, and I had no idea, you know, that, I mean, I didn't know him. He just kind of came outside and started walking towards me, and this is a few times.
Did he talk to you?
No, but he's made some eye contact, he walks pretty slowly towards me. It feels as though there's some type of communication that has to happen, but it's kind
is
of awkward.
Cute? Patricia, is he handsome?
I mean, are you attracted to him? Are you single?
Yes, I am. I'm single.
You're single, and are you attracted to him?
I'm beginning to be.
I really feel like he is, that you guys are similar types of people. I mean, I feel like you're similar types of people, that you like similar things, and that there is a kind of, I mean, I think you've answered your own question, actually.
Yes,
I mean, what is the universe trying to say? I think need to initiate, or, somebody's placing themselves.
Is he safe? Is he safe?
Well, you would use all the precautions that you would use with any stranger. I mean, I don't get a psychic feeling that he's not, but I can't read his energy. I'm just reading hers.
Okay.
And I feel like you have fairly decent instincts, and that if he was like an axe murderer, that you wouldn't be continually walking around by yourself, you know.
During the daytime, it's a business hour, and
There's
just a lot of different buildings and business complex. A lot of people walk on their breaks and things. And
the feeling I'm getting is that you're very similar. And have you asked for the person that you want to be your mate?
Oh, yes, I wrote it down.
Okay, well, I'm feeling like this is, if it's not the answer, it's really close. I feel like a kindred spirit. I feel like the energy between you and him is very similar, that you have similar, that there's the reason that you get outside and walk is sort of why he's out there. And I think he's a little, I'm not sure, I wouldn't say use the word shy, but reserved. And I don't think that he's going to ever be the one that's going to say hi, but he would probably like it if you said hi.
Oh, I did. I said hello one day and smiled, and he just, it was kind of like a stun to him. He just, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out.
He's used to being invisible. Is he super, he feels super smart to me and almost, what's the word? Not nerdy, but geeky smart.
I think so.
You know, and he's, you know, I feel like he, when you said hello, I almost feel like he, like the tips of his ears turned red, you know?
Yeah.
Like the tops of his ears, if you could have seen them, were red, you know? And you gave him that butterfly feeling.
Oh.
It's kind of cute, actually.
Well,
you know,
today I saw him in a whole different area. I was, like, way across the other side of the complex, and he was there. And he was surprised to see me. I could see it on his face. So, I mean, I had no idea I was going to run into him, and he had no idea he was going to run into me unless he's watching me. I don't know. But,
well, if you have asked for someone and you have been very specific about what it is that you wanted, and he keeps getting put in your path, then I feel like you have no choice but to at least speak to him and try to figure out why he's there. You know, he may not be the one, but there's definitely a reason. What's that book, The Celestial Prophecy or something like that?
Celestine.
There are no coincidences.
Yeah.
Celestine. Yeah, that was it. There are no coincidences, you know, and you have asked for this.
I know, and now I just don't know how to do it. I'm at a loss. I don't know. It's an awkward situation. It's so curious, but interesting.
Yeah, it is. I do feel like he's very much a kindred spirit, and I don't know if he's in your soul family or if he's supposed to be a really good friend or if he's supposed to be the one. I did get the lover card, you know, but that means choices. I to me also, it doesn't necessarily mean lovers, you know, but it means choices. And I got the work card, and I got also that there's something going on that's, you know, that you have no control over. And I got some agitation. So I don't know if that's, you know, your agitation about, are you shy?
Oh, in this situation, I am. I don't know what to do. I've been, I have not had a date in over 20-some years. I was married and divorced. So, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do. So I'm just trying to enjoy myself now, you know, and this popped up immediately.
All you can do is you can say hi, and you can, he's going to have to do some of the work. You know.
Yeah, I hope that he's not agitated, because I'm not agitated. I'm just nervous, but I hope.
Well, it's more of a nervous energy that I get from the whole situation. And then that there's some stuff going on that you have no control over. And I don't know if that's in his life or if that's just, you know, life in general. But I really do feel like that the universe, I mean, you answered your own question. The universe just keeps putting them there. Say hello to him. See where it goes. See how you feel. You don't, and you don't have to be in a rush. It's okay.
Right.
You can take this as slow as you want. You know.
Right.
And time will tell. He will either start responding appropriately, or he'll run off, or you will never see him again. You know. Time will tell. Time's your friend, actually.
Okay.
In this situation. So just enjoy it. It's fun. It's something to think about. You know. While you're watching the
exciting.
Clock. You know.
Yeah,
how
Patricia, this is what I would do.
Okay.
You probably don't want to see what I would do, but I would just say, when I see him walking, hey, what's going on? And you know what I mean? He'll be like, what? Just say, how are you doing? I mean, I see you around. My name is Patricia. You know, and I'm much more forward than most people, though. So.
Oh, okay. Well, if it works, I guess it's the thing to do.
Because, I mean,
it would take me probably months and years to work up to that. You know,
hello, I'm
my
in.
Deal is all done online.
Okay, here's our special guest, you guys. It's Chris from Curious
I'm butting in. So assuming that the guy is not a stalker, okay? Then, you know, the problem I think is, like, if he's all that shy and you're all that shy and you're all going to both be sitting there for the next 5 years being too afraid to, you know what I mean? And so it's like ripping off a bandage. You know what I'm saying to you? It's like the sooner you get it done, the better, you know? And so just say, like, I keep bumping into you, you know what I mean? Like, are you following me? Ha, ha, ha. You know, make a joke out of it or something if you have to, but... You know,
he's scared.
Yeah, like, you know, by the way, I have your picture uploaded to my computer and the police have been alerted. So if you're up to no good, then you're going down. But otherwise, how would you like to have a cup of coffee? No, I'm kidding. But like, you know, like the sooner that you find out, You know what I mean? Then the sooner, it's, but how many times do we see this, right? We see, usually we see it in school or something, you know, I wonder if they like me, do they like me? And I'm too afraid, I'm too shy, I'm too, and then nobody ever, and then you hear years later, oh, well, I always had a crush on you. Well, I always had a crush on you too. Well, why didn't you say something? Well, why didn't you say something? And then like nobody says anything and then poof, it's gone. And so, you know what, like, wouldn't you rather know sooner than later? You know, whether what the deal is. So just go rip the bandage off, you know?
Yeah.
And I just feel like he's kind of geeky, and he probably won't make the first move.
Yeah, okay.
So use whatever method works for you. If you want to crack a joke, like, if I didn't know any better, I'd say you were following me, ha, 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 you know? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, what's a nice guy like you doing in a place like that? I don't know, you know what I mean? But you got to do something.
I like this, my favorite thing, one of my favorite things to say to guys is, what book are you reading now? Are you reading a book now?
Oh, God, that is awful.
Worst pickup line ever.
That's an author for you, you know what I mean? you should be going, so what book are you writing right now, you know? Because I'm working on three books right now.
I know, but he's not reading a book. He's an idiot, you know what I mean? And whatever.
Well, hey, wait a minute. I don't read. No, I don't read. I hate
neither does my boyfriend.
Wait a second. Wait a cotton picking second. No, because the thing is like people that are like ADHD people, some of us, like, we just don't have the attention span. It better be a damn good book. You know, and that kind of thing. So, but like, there's like so many people waiting, and like we have like 5 minutes each caller if we go now.
Okay.
Thank you, Eva. Thank you very much. You're so welcome. I wish you the best. Okay.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye,
Patricia.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So we just had some prime advice from Chris at Curious Times.
You know, I gotta say real quick, ADHD doesn't exist. I hate that term and all that. Like, you know what? Like, I have it, okay? Whatever you want to call it, I don't care what you want to call it, but it's my right to call it ADHD if I want to, okay? And so, you know, and I'm not on medication for it, and no doctor diagnosed me with it, but I have an attention deficit issue, and I'm hyper, in case you haven't figured that out yet. But anyhow, so I call it that. I call it ADHD. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I admit that. Anyway, let's go.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say, Chris is like the coach intuitive when you need a reality check. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have Celeste on the line. Hey, Celeste.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Can you guys hear me? Oh, okay.
Yep.
How are you?
Just fine. What's on your mind today?
Just an overall anything you pick up from the ether.
All right, from the ether.
Energy. Yeah.
Yep.
From the ether, of the highest ether, the highest ether.
I see nothing but good, except there's something that's very burdensome to you. So let's start with the good stuff. I feel
the
like
highest
you are
ether.
I feel like you are opening up in a loving sort of manner, in a creativity sort of manner, and that your life looks like a bright, shiny star in the future and coming up for you. You also got the Wish card, which is a cool card to get. Not my favorite in the deck, but it's right up there, probably number two. And it is the only warning that comes with the Wish card is be careful what you wish for. Because it might just come true, or it will come true, actually.
Yeah.
So be very specific about what. So you're in a position right now where you can actually kind of write your own script, you know. You get to choose. And so know yourself very well. Know yourself very well and wish for what you really want. And then there's something in your life that's just, you know, it's, you're planting the seeds, but it's kind of got you feeling kind of squished. You know, it's just kind of a big deal, and it's put a lot of stress on you. And it can't really be helped. It's like finishing up something, you know, and there's just a lot of burden there associated with it. So, but good stuff for you.
Are you taking a trip?
I don't have any plans.
Are you in a relationship?
Yeah, I'm in a relationship.
Yeah. Is it a good one? Because it feels good to me.
Yeah, it's pretty. He is a, if anybody has, like, one of those soul people that just comes in, you know, to be with you, I think he's one of mine for sure.
Are you living together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that I remember my mom telling me, and, you know, your sweet spot doesn't necessarily have to be, your sweet spot can be where you're at. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Doesn't, you know, you might think, oh, well, my sweet spot's in Denver, Colorado. And so, you know, you spend all your time trying to get to Denver, Colorado. And I'm just using that randomly.
It makes sense because I always want to be, like, somewhere, like, on the beach. Like, right now I'm in the desert, and all I want to do is, like, be on the beach. But it makes sense.
Well, and that's why I feel like I was, you know, I just heard my mom say that. She used to say that to me all the time. And because I was the same way, I'd be like, you know, so I'm here now, but I really want to be there, and really what I was searching for was my sweet spot, the spot where I could feel at home, the spot where I could just put down roots, you know, and I have such a rambling soul, you know, that I have a real problem unpacking, like very seldom do I completely unpack, because I feel like if I'm almost afraid that if I completely unpack, then I'll have to leave. So if I really like a place, you can tell how much I like it by how much I have not unpacked, which is kind of crazy.
No, it makes sense. I haven't done anything. I haven't really unpacked anything in this house, and I've been here like a year.
And it's because you're always anticipating the sweet spot. But just remember, the sweet spot can be where you're at, and it's okay. You're not going to get trapped in one place or in one situation. It's okay to go ahead and unpack stuff and make yourself comfortable in that little area. And if you ever need to leave, you can just pack it all up and leave. So don't worry about getting stuck, okay?
Do you see any, like, I don't know if you pick up images or you hear things or how you read, but do you see or hear any images, or not hear any images, you know what I mean, with, like, career or anything like that?
I feel like that once again, it's your personality, and you just have to learn to love yourself for who you are and to understand how you approach life. You're afraid of getting trapped in one thing. You're afraid of being bored. Because you master things very quickly, you pick things up, and once you've learned it, you're done with it. And you move on to the next thing. And so it's very hard for you to settle in one spot. And so, you know, it makes you feel like you have so many options and so many choices that you can't. You're almost paralyzed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just understand that about yourself and realize that what you're supposed to do will just happen to you. And think about what makes you passionate. Think about where your passion lies. What do you feel really passionate about? Because that's going to keep your interest. That's one of the places you will not get bored. That's one of the things you will not get bored doing. And it's okay if that even changes. You're not going to get locked into anything. You don't have to. Life is not like that. You get to choose. It's a different kind of life. Used to, you worked in the same factory that your dad worked in, and you worked for 30 years, 40 years in one place, and you retired from the place. Life is not like that anymore. We've got the internet. We can be somebody different if we don't like what we're doing right now.
Huh.
We get to choose. So don't worry about getting locked in or being bored.
Yeah, I feel like what I want, it manifests so fastly, but and what I want requires school, but I don't even know like where to start with that with school.
Well,
next part of
that
school.
You know, knowledge is power. So learn about what it would take to get to what you think you might like to be doing, and then you can decide from that point if it's worth it, if the time and the effort's worth it.
Right.
Know yourself. Well enough to know what you want. and do something that you're passionate about, because that you will never be bored if you're following your passion. I promise you. And you're not stuck
right.
in anything. So if you choose and make a decision, you're not stuck there. You can change it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a grand adventure. Good luck,
huh.
okay?
And the trip, yeah, thank you so much. The trip might be going to, I've been wanting to go to Hawaii so badly, but I seem to never
go.
Actually manifest it. I know,
go.
I just need to go. Or maybe Alaska might be that.
Yeah, someplace. You're an adventurer.
Mm-hmm.
Go have an adventure. And remember that you, whatever spot you're in can be your sweet spot. It's not some elusive place that you can't get to ever. Your sweet spot is right where you're at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I need to appreciate that because I'm definitely always, like, bored or ready for the next move, like, somewhere else, the next place. So.
Yep.
That makes
good
sense.
Luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Celeste.
You're welcome.
Okay, up next we have Karen. Lovely, lovely
Hello, Karen.
Karen. Hello there, Karen.
Hello there, Corinne.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Vet. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to ask you if this financial long period is ever going to, if I'm ever going to, if I'm going to come out of this. I keep just barely squeaking by, and then something else happens, and, you know, it starts to get better, and then it's back to where it was. And
yeah, I see a lot of, I don't know, is there, not competition is not the right word, but just conflict. And I don't know if it's internal or external, but there seems to be some conflict around you. But really, honestly, this whole period of time in your life where you've had this has been a, and I'm saying this, you're probably going to slap me, but it's really been a spiritual victory for you for some reason, and I'm not exactly sure. I also see, yes, time will make this better. It will get better, but I don't spend so much time on the outside of the wheel. It's like a big, giant wheel, and you can ride the top, and you have the high highs and the low lows, and it would be just be very easier on you if you could remain centered and in the middle and know that, you know, once again, my mom is, I'm channeling my mother, who's still living, by the way, and, she, you know, this is just a small ripple in a big pond of life, you know. Is there a man in your life?
Not a love interest.
Okay, because there is a man who is a financial, who has a financial benefactor towards you. And I don't know if he's a partner or someone who, you know.
An old friend and a client.
Yeah. And I feel like that there can be, that he can be of some help to you.
Oh, yeah.
If he's not already.
He has been. But
yeah.
He's done as much as he can, you know.
Yeah.
He can't keep asking.
And don't, he's such a, you know, don't worry about how he feels about it, or this is, it's just who he is. He's just generous.
Yeah.
And he's very, very nice. And so don't fret.
Okay. That helps.
Or feel conflicted, you know, over him helping you, because that's why he's here.
Mm.
In life, that's who he is, and that's what he's supposed to be doing. I mean, it's like we all come with a purpose, you know. What I haven't quite figured mine out. I know a little bit. Part of it's my daughter, but you know, honestly, he came with the purpose of being able to help, and you specifically, right?
Yeah,
does
but
that make
Yvette,
sense?
Is she gonna be able to, you know, get her own money going?
Well, I mean, I'm not seeing that. I'm only seeing what's around her right now, because that's how I read it, is that snapshot thing. And I see conflict, and I feel like that's an internal conflict about how to feel about somebody helping her. I see this spiritual victory. There's something about this situation that has given her a spiritual victory, and I see the card to me that means, you know, time is your friend. The further out you are, the more time you give this, the better it'll be. And in the meantime, not to be so pulled along by the roller coaster of it, but to find a centered place and just know that it is, yes, it is going to be fine. Yes, eventually, will she have her own money? Yes. It's, you know, there's a creativity. And maybe a change in the way that you, maybe what am I trying to say? A change in the way that you live your life, in a sense, you know, that you scale it down, scale it back, and start having more simple, you know, living more simple.
I've scaled it back about as far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really feel like that you're going to be fine, but the thing that is the worst, the thing that's the hardest on you right now is trying to stay in the center and remain centered and not to understand that there's a flow to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to kind of, it's a little bit like waiting for a subway train. You have to make sure you're on the right platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're, that the train is going where you want to go. And then there's nothing, I mean, you can't control when the train gets there.
Right.
You know, there's only so much you can do. You can control what platform you get on, you know, and where that train's headed that you want to be. Those are the things you control. But there, at this point, you have to kind of wait for the train to come. And then you have to be ready to hop on the train. So I feel like that's how you, that's where you're at in your life right now. And not to be so conflicted.
It feels like I'm waiting for Godot, you know?
Yeah. Well,
that
I feel like you
never
are
get there.
Extremely creative. I feel like you, that there's something that you can do in the meantime that will feed that creative side of you and that will eventually work out into some money for you. I feel this anxiousness from, I don't know. You need to breathe more.
True.
You know, and not let your thoughts get so spinny, you know, or loopy. I mean, just that looped thinking of, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? And so it keeps you from actually doing anything at all because you're thinking kind of that loop thinking where you think over and over and over and over. And it will eventually, if it hasn't already, affect your ability to sleep, your ability to feel good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very physically hard on you.
Yeah.
You know. So breathing will help. I don't know if you do any meditation or not, or listening to a guided meditation would help. Be helpful. Maybe to calm down and to ground yourself a little bit. And just get, you're waiting for the subway train. It's going to happen. Let this person who wants to help you help you.
Mm-hmm.
Try to remain centered and not ride the roller coaster so much. And in the meantime, while you're waiting, you know, and find that creative side of you and express it, whatever that is, writing. I don't know what it is. What do you do that's...
I write. I do.
Okay. Then write.
Yeah.
Do your writing, you know, and then it kind of just, it's like there's, it creates this hope for the future that, and then that's kind of works itself out into money. There's a lesson in all of this. There's a spiritual victory in all of this. And it's not a good feeling place to be sometimes, but sometimes if we just let go and be there, know that we've done everything we can, we're at the right subway, you know, platform, and we're taking the right train when it gets here, then we let the train come.
Right, okay. Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. What card
okay.
was that, by the way? Did you, was that from a card?
I got 8, 6 of Wands, King of Pentacles, 5 of Swords, the Wheel of Fortune, the Empress, the Ace of Cups, the star, and materialism, which is called the devil in most decks.
Oh, okay.
No.
All righty then.
Okay then.
I wish you the best of luck, Karen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, thanks, Karen.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Okay, you guys, I'm going to go over time a little bit because we want to be able to get everybody, but let's take Regina in the meantime. Regina, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Regina. What's on your mind?
Right now, I am going through a transition. I'm about to get a divorce, and I'm trying to get back on my feet. And right now, I'm working at a salon because I'm trying to chase my dream of being a makeup artist, but at the same time, not making the money that I want to. So it's like, I don't know if I need to take, like, just stop and put my dreams on hold and just try to get, you know, another job to support myself until that dream start happening, or just keep performing my dream.
Is it, do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and do they live with you?
Yes, they do.
Okay. I would never tell you to give up on your dream, but I do feel like there's some other stuff that you need to do right now while you're making your dream happen. So, you know, I don't see, is that a highly competitive job? I don't know much about it.
It depends on what area you go in. In makeup, so, I mean, if you go from
the... So is the area that you're in, is it highly competitive?
I don't think so, but it's all about who you know, too. So
okay.
It just depends on your connection and how far you want to go.
So have you thought about teaching it? Because I feel like you're really, really good at what you do. Exceptional, but I feel like there's something, some reason why it's not supporting you and your children. And I feel like it may be part, okay, so what I'm getting is that it's kind of political.
Mm-hmm.
The job is kind of political, and it requires sometimes saying things that are not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're true, but they're not necessarily, I don't know how to put it, they're not necessarily true, but you have to be really super tactful, and that is something that is difficult for you because you're kind of a tell-it-like-it-is kind of person. And so
mm-hmm.
There's a little problem with the industry itself being so political, and you don't like to play games.
Yes, I do not.
Which is why you got divorced, right?
Yes, because,
okay.
Like I said, we're going through all that crap, and, you know, I'm not on my feet as I like to be while I'm going through this divorce stuff, because I'm trying to keep everything afloat here after we're gone, you know, done with everything. And that's my stress.
I don't think the industry itself is going to change any. And it's always going to be an industry where you might have to present yourself in a way that feels to you, because you are an honest and speak your mind type of person, where you would have to be more tactful, and you would have to be more, you know, maybe look them in the eye and say things that you wouldn't normally say. And so if that's never going to make you comfortable and you can't change who you are, who your basic self is, then the other thing for you to do to stay in the industry would be a teacher. And I feel like you're really good at it. I feel like it's political, and there's a lot of jealousy between people, and all it takes is one person to say something bad about you, or you to have
mm-hmm.
one off day, and that causes
mm-hmm.
that can cause the whole thing to collapse like a house of cards. And so
mm-hmm.
I feel like that you know, even though you're, like, really super good at it, that it might be more comfortable for you to do something like teach or teach it to other people. And it would be a lot easier on you financially because you'd have a steady paycheck rather than a hit-or-miss paycheck. Does that make sense?
Yes, because I do want to teach it eventually. It's just the fact that I'm trying to, like, build my portfolio. So when and once I have everything that I want and have a diverse clientele and portfolio, then I can lead to that other opportunity of teaching. So it's just,
Well, if you are providing yourself and your family with a place to live and, you know, food to eat and the basic needs of what you're, you know, what you need to get by to live, and you're doing it with what you're doing right now, then I'd say keep doing what you're doing right now. But if you're not and you feel like you're not doing a good job of that, then I would say, you know, seek out a way to teach, and then in the meantime, do something that does provide for yourself, you know? So you can take that out of the equation, you know? You have to have your basic needs met first, you know?
Exactly. Oh, yeah,
but I
definitely
don't think you should give up on your dream. I would never say give up.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, maybe other opportunities outside of that industry that may be coming to me, and I just want to see what
I just feel like the part that you're I feel like the part that you're trying to do right now is extremely political and hard on you as a person, because it goes against who you are, who your nature is.
Okay.
You know,
so,
playing the game is just very difficult for you. And could you learn to do it and probably do it well? Absolutely. But is that how you want to live your everyday life? You have to. That's a question you have to answer. I can't answer for you.
Yeah, and
it's
and
a choice you have to make.
Too. Yeah, because I was supposed to go to this audition, but I didn't receive an email back saying, like, when you had this audition, because I wanted to be represented by the agent. So they can find me the job if once it was out there while I was working at a salon and trying to build my
So you didn't show up?
No, I just didn't get a response back. I emailed them back saying I'm available for this day and I'm supposed to do all kinds of stuff and I wanted to go ahead and do it, but I just never received anything back because I was going back and forth with the lady, but she seemed so intimidated. I'm like, why are you kind of scaring people off?
It just feels, you know, the profession feels, I feel like you're really, really good at doing it, at you know, at the makeup part of it, but I feel like the what you're going to have to, the hoops that you're going to have to jump through is going to be very wearing on you because you're just not that type of person. It's just you're just a no crap person, and this is kind of an industry filled with crap. You know?
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that in that industry that don't know how to do makeup very well. But
I know.
But they up the ranks. But they up the ranks, Don. And I'm like, how can I get myself? And I know I'm good at it. I know I am,
yeah,
but it's just I don't have the connection to get to where I want to go.
And the way that you get the connections, the way that you get the connections is you schmooze people. And so you have to decide if you are the type of person that can schmooze.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally, I could never do it, but that's, you know, I'm just, I can't tolerate it.
because I don't want to be, I don't want to step on a lot of people's toes, but I want to be very good and be tactful about it and be professional about it at the same time because I don't want to lose my image because I'm doing this, that, you know, step on other people's boundaries.
Well, and you'll need
like
a certain
that.
Amount of professional reputation to be an instructor, too. And, I mean,
exactly.
I just feel like you have a lot to bring, you know, I think you can do makeup, but you have to decide, it's your choice, and you have to decide if you want to play the game and if you how you want to play it, you know, because it's a game. It is a big political game.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Like I said, yes, it does, but I'm at the point now that I want to put it on the side and just find another job. So I can pay the bills and get my basic needs met. And
right. You know, the most important.
Right.
You have to get your basic needs met. But don't give up on your dream. Just find a way to do it that is suitable for your personality and who you are so you can maintain your integrity.
Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, I've just been running around and just stressing and you know, way this divorce is going, and it's just like, oh my God, it's like, I spent so much money, you know, finding an attorney and money that I don't have, but it's like, thought I had somebody to lend me some money, but it's still hard. At the same time,
yeah, you've got to meet your, it's that Maslow's triangle. You have to meet your basic needs first.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
after that, you can reach that self-actualization, you know.
Right.
But right now, I would concentrate on feeding myself and sheltering myself. But don't give up on your dream. Just find a way to do it that fits with you, who you are.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Regina.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Moving right along. We have two more. And the next one is Anna. And Anna, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Hey.
Hi, Anna. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you I heard you were going over time a little bit, so I appreciate that. I have a question about finances.
Okay.
I'm going through a major financial crisis where everything seems to be falling apart. And I'm just wondering not only what's going on specifically right now, but the pattern that I've been in for several years of loaning money to people. They don't give it back, or investing in something right at the point when it's falling down. My timing is, like, really bad. And it used to not be that way, and I want to break that and figure out how to tune in and make the right choices at the right time. Not the right choices at the wrong time.
Right. I feel like that you are, you've been trying to do things and maintain sort of a traditional type of going about business sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I see where some real major stuff has happened to you. But what kind of beautiful about the whole thing is that your core you has remained intact. So really have to give you pats on the back for that, because whatever's happened to you has been so majorly bad that most people wouldn't have come out of it as well as you have, and so you have to pat yourself on the back for that. And this, there's a very, I don't know what's going on in your life spiritually, but I feel like you're feeling kind of burdened spiritually also. And it's affected your self-esteem. And it's also affected your ability to work with the flow of the universe. I think you were really, really good at predicting things and seeing trends. And then whatever this was that happened to you was so major. It was such a big, huge life lesson that survival of it took your mojo away in a way. You know, it took your ability to follow the trends and to go with the ebb and the flow of the universe and everything. And it affected, you know, and then that, it kind of had a snowball effect for you. You know, it affected one area of your life, and then it affected the other areas of your life, and then it's just almost to the point where now you're kind of feeling squished flat on the floor. And that's a difficult position to be in. The first thing you need to do, first thing I would do in this situation, would be to look and know that what you come through, to really celebrate that remaining intact, to really say, wow, I'm kind of badass, you know, because I am still here.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
I have to find a way.
And so then
somewhere.
at that point, I think that will help with your self-esteem. And once you get your self-esteem and your confidence back, then you'll go back to being able to do the right, to understanding the rhythms and working within those. I do think it's going to be a shift in consciousness in a way from the more traditional way that you did it to a less traditional way. I'm not exactly sure what that's about, but maybe you understand it better than me.
Yeah, I think calling forth from a level of manifestation rather than just looking
just
at what
really,
they...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do feel like if you can kind of, once again, like we were talking earlier, transcend and look down upon where you've been, what you've been through, and acknowledge how major that was, and yet you survived, and you were intact mostly. You might not feel that way. Well, you know what I mean. We all have a little few holes in us, you know, when we're finished.
Yeah,
we're a little tattered and torn, but the core, we remain intact. Who we are, you came through that, and you remain intact. And if you can see that for what it really is, if you can see that for how really amazing that is, and feel how, you know, understand, and even if it takes, you looking at it like almost in an objective way where you kind of pull yourself out of it and it's not you, look at it like you would if you were looking at somebody else's life and think, wow, that person's really amazing. How did they do that? How did they, you know, and then realize, come into the realization or slide back into it, you know, and realize that that's you, and give yourself the kudos and get above that, then you'll be able to get that mojo thing back, that manifestation, that following the rhythms, understanding. I just really feel if you can see what I can see, if you could see what I can see about you, if you could get above it and see it, then you would understand how amazing it is that you're even on the phone talking.
And not crying. Yeah, I didn't cry. It would have been a big day to cry, but I didn't. I'm still telling jokes to the people who were staying in my house and adding a little bit of financial sustenance, a young couple with, who prefer to be street kids. They like to live outside, but, you know, they came in for a little bit of healing and nurturing, and I just really love them. They're just the two of us, a couple, and he moved in, and she was coming and going and visiting, and then she decided she was going to stay, and so we're working out rent agreements and things, a little bit of payment sustenance there, and I'm just really in love with them. This one young man, I'm sure it's his first lifetime in a body. He's like a little nymph or deva or something, and he's like not quite elven, but he's just like really into nature spirits, and he created all of this ferns and greenery and rocks and things in the room, and I made them put covering. They put covering on the floor so that he likes it. I mean, he creates dirt, literal earth dirt around it. So they cover the carpet so it doesn't ruin anything. But it just looks like he's living outside in the room. It's really
wow!
Amazing.
What amazing! That's really cool.
So I looked at him one day in. I just caught a glimpse of, he's not a real earth being. I mean, a human being. This is his first time in a body, so.
It's almost like a sprite or a fairy or an elf, like you said.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, very much. Isn't that cool? What a privilege and what a victory and what a amazing opportunity for you to actually kind of observe
and
write about.
It's funny.
Write about living with an elf or living with whatever that energy, fairy energy that is, you know?
He can be real spacey, and I have to remind him to clean up and turn out lights and shut the door behind him and lock the door when he comes in at night and different things like that. But it's just, you know, anybody else, I'd be like, you know, don't you get it yet? And I just kind of laugh. You know, because his intuition and his heart is just so great. It's a pleasure watching him. He and his girlfriend are so in love. They're so light together. It's like I wouldn't want two people normally living in my house, but they're just enjoyable. That's such a change.
Well, that's amazing.
That's
cool.
So hopefully that will continue to work
out.
It's
very much a victory for you. It's very much a victory for you. You know, just to be able to give and to receive, because they are giving you a different perspective and non-traditional perspective on life.
very non-traditional, you know, and it kind of reminds me in ways when I was in my 20s and 30s and used to travel around the country, and but I did it in a more traditional way than they are. But still, you know, they're young and exploring, and you know, but they have a lot more wisdom than I did back then.
Yeah.
Being different generations.
They're so much further ahead than we were.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even my daughter, who's 9 years old, I look at her and I think, wow, you know, I wish I'd known that, because she knows spiritual things, you know. And of course, I try to
mm-hmm.
teach her, but she teaches me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She knows spiritual
yeah.
things that I didn't know that took me almost 50 years to learn, you know.
Yes. Well, the mm-hmm. times have sped up, and the level of awareness of the souls coming in now are just much higher. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great time to be alive.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very special time. But going back to on the financial part of me, do you
mm-hmm.
see anything going forward with my photography? Is it going to kind of open up and bring me some income? And
I think that you can manifest whatever you want. And if you want to be, if you want photography to pay your bills, then you can actually manifest that. And for you, I don't know if you've been listening to the whole show, but I get the same feeling as I did about the young lady that I spoke to about her sweet spot. For you, what you're doing, wherever you're at can be your sweet spot. Wherever
mm-hmm.
you're at and whatever it is that you're doing. Because I don't think photography is the only thing that you do really well. I think there's other creative aspects of you. And so whatever you're doing at the very moment can be where you're what you're supposed to be doing. And you can make money and balance your life with it. But
mm-hmm.
I see victory from that. I see you manifesting whatever it is you want. So don't be afraid to dream big.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lock yourself into just one dream.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say the only way that I can do this is through photography, or the only, you know, because there's so much more.
No, I want
there's
my
so
photography
much...
to expand. I want
yeah.
to get it out worldwide, and
I really
not...
feel like you can. There's going to be some balancing and stuff, but you can manifest. I feel like you're in a position to sort of take off in any direction
mm-hmm.
you want to go. So
mm-hmm.
you kind of wield the power. You get to choose.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like a new beginning, you know, even though it's
yeah,
a,
it really, I yeah. feel like you're poised, like kind of like a hummingbird.
That's funny. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
I wish you the
Can
best
Can I ask
luck.
One other question?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you see any strong relationship happening? I've been going through this relationship issue for the past year, and one guy's kind of on the out. We're just friends, but there's somebody that I had met recently that I'm just kind of, you know, dabbling and wondering.
It's all
if it's
about
gonna...
chemistry for you. It's all about
mm-hmm.
Chemical reactions. In chemical reactions either happen instantly or they
mm-hmm.
take time, and there has to be other elements of pride like heat or cold or something like that, and I'm talking about chemistry. So remember that. Don't spend too much time fretting over the relationship aspect of your life, because it's going to be okay. And don't think, and this is where getting a you know, looking down and realizing what you've actually survived will help too, because you feel sometimes you feel less than perfect and you feel damaged,
mm-hmm.
but you're not. We all feel that way sometimes, but you're not, and you'll be okay. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any romance around you, because I do a snapshot of what, you know, the energy around you right at the very moment. I don't see any actual romance, but I do see a lot of, I do see looking down. And when you don't, you know, and I feel like if you would just look at your life from the perspective of what you survived, and that's a good idea too, because you're kind of a perfectionist, and so you tend to think of your life as what in what you accomplished, and if you could turn that around and think of what you've survived, even write it down, not a list of accomplishments, because to you, if you to have accomplished it, you would have had to do it exactly the way you think it should have been done, you know, which is perfect. So your list of accomplishments might be a lot shorter, but put down what a list of things that you've actually survived, and then realize what kind of what a Billy badass you are. Excuse my language. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And take away that filter of perfection. You know, when you look at your life and you're like, oh, well, I've only done this, you know, and I've only done this, and I didn't even do that very well. When you look at your own life, you know, probably say things to yourself that you would never say to other people. But if you can list, write down a list of things that you survived, because survival takes away that filter of perfectionism. Survive means you just had to got through it, you know? So your list is bigger, and it makes you realize that you really have done a lot with your life. And then that stops you from looking down and feeling less than perfect, and then you start to feel better about yourself, and consequently, then you're able to manifest and to move forward the way that you normally would have done before this thing happened to you, you know?
Yeah, I'm dealing with physical challenges in my knees and pain every day, and so it's, you know, difficult to walk, so that's an everyday kind of burden I'm dealing with. Or what, you know, I'm trying to keep everything else going forward so that I have things that make me feel good, not just things that make me feel like, okay, I got through today, you know.
Right. Yeah, well, write down a list of things you survived and keep it where you can see it on a daily basis, because I think it's important that you understand how much you've actually done and how much you've actually survived. I think it'll give you a different perspective.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Anna, thank you so much. We have one more caller.
All right,
caller,
well, thank
you. So. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Take it easy. Okay.
Right.
And
okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Yvette, we have the wonderful, the beautiful, the amazing Christy Hu.
Hey, Corey.
Christy Hu.
And Yvette. How are y'all?
Okay,
oh,
how are
you? Fine.
That's good.
What is on your mind? I don't think I've ever talked to you on the phone, have I?
Actually, you did once on Corrine's show. It's been a while back now.
Oh, wow. Cool. Well, I am certainly privileged to talk to you today. What's on your mind?
Well,
thank you for holding so long, by the way.
Oh, I don't mind holding. I will hold a lot. Ashley, you said that you do a snapshot type thing, and just see what you see. If you don't need a question.
Nope, I don't really need a question. I just read the energy around you right now. And what I'm seeing right now is you're in a position to create almost anything you want. And I'm seeing also that there's some decision that you have, you're going to have to make eventually. Right now you're kind of come to a place of peace with it, but eventually you're going to have to make a decision because it's kind of a false place of peace. And so I feel like it's important that you know that you can't just not decide.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So eventually you're going to have to make that decision. But wow, you have the ability right now. There's something that you, it's like something clicked with you, and I'm not exactly sure what it is, but maybe you know that it's like you something clicked. Like, I don't know if you've been struggling with some concept. It almost feels like a spiritual concept, but it just like fell into place recently. I don't know if it was the first of the year or at the end of the last year or what it was, but I feel like you have a knowledge, something clicked with you, you kind of understand something, you need to run with that.
Okay.
Whatever understanding that you reached within yourself, you need to take that and realize, and not, okay, when I was a kid, I used to, you know, use my crayons until they would become little short stubby things.
Yeah.
And my mom would buy me a new box of crayons, and I wouldn't use them because I loved their points. I would use those old broken crayons. So I feel like there's some concept that you've gotten recently and that your tendency would be to tuck it away because it's so pretty and
mm-hmm.
perfect and it has its points on it.
Uh-huh.
And that you wouldn't use it, and you need to get it out and use it. It's not going to go away. You're not going to lose it if you use it. And you need to use it and not file it away, but to actually put it into action. And that just brings for you hope and kind of a change of path.
Okay.
So whatever that is that you figured out, that clicked with you, that resonated, that was an aha moment, because I feel like you've had one recently. And whatever that is, don't tuck it away and not use it because you don't want to dull its point. Does that make sense?
At the moment, it doesn't, but it kind of clicks with me. I can't remember which aha moment you're talking about. Because I've had right many recently.
Yeah, I know. I feel like you have, and I feel like that your tendency would be to, you're just not quick to act sometimes. You have to think about things, and you have to mull things over in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's okay. But don't think about it so long that you forget about it. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
If you figured something out and you've kind of been given a message that you need to do something or go somewhere or, you know, create something or whatever it is, don't squeeze it so tightly that it slips through your fingers, you know.
Okay.
Don't use those crayons because you can always get more. And they'll have nice, pretty, pointy spots too. So what's going on? Do you have a love life?
No.
Do you want one?
I'm about 50-50 on that one.
Yeah, I feel like that you that sometimes you get lonely. That there's periods of loneliness, and that you think, oh, I wish I had someone here,
mm-hmm.
you know, for companion. And I feel like that will come to you. I feel like that I don't think you should give up on that. I feel like it's coming, and it's just the most important relationship you're ever going to have is the relationship you have with yourself.
Right.
And once you open up to self-love,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you beat yourself up sometimes, but once you open up to self-love, then that love comes from, you know, comes there'll be a physical manifestation of that.
Okay.
Physical manifestation of it. And it feels like you're really getting ready for that. I mean, you deserve to have someone sitting there, even if they're not talking to you, you know. Sometimes it's better if they don't. Come on.
This is true.
I mean, you know. But just having a physical presence, you know, that is comforting to have someone, you know, just a physical presence. And to have someone that you don't have to entertain or you don't have to be someone different or you don't always have to worry about, that you deserve that just as much as the next person does. So don't give up on that and don't say, oh, well, you know,
I do go back and forth on it. It's like,
yeah.
I want
no,
a relationship,
think,
and then it's like, no, I don't. I like my peace and quiet. Don't. But then,
yeah, but what if you could have a relationship and have your peace and quiet?
That would be nice.
Right. So don't say or don't put out into the universe that you don't want a relationship. Say you want one where you have your peace and quiet. But you have your companion, because
mm-hmm.
that can be manifested.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, really, it really can be. You're protected. And I don't know if, you know, just in general, because you are kind of an open, giving, loving creature of the universe, you know, and people can hurt your feelings very easily. But you've got, I don't know what your spiritual beliefs are, but you've got loving arms wrapped around you, protecting you. And if you've asked for it, then it's there. They've answered you, and they are there. And if you haven't asked for it, they're there anyway, you know? So know that. And somebody asks you to go do something in a group, do it.
Okay.
You know, don't turn them down. Don't isolate yourself too much. Because sometimes I think it's simpler for you just to isolate yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know, and say, you know, I don't really like people anyway.
It's not that I don't like people. It's,
no.
Even the friends that I have now, I mean, it's not like they cause me a lot of drama and chaos. It's just I need to build my energy back up. Other than work, I don't know what else is draining me, and I just need to learn to let more of that go, of the frustrations of my everyday life, because once I get home, it's like, okay, other than Blog Talk Radio, don't want to deal with anybody.
Right.
Well, you know, sometimes we have to force ourselves, and I am such a hermit that I would probably, if it wasn't for my daughter, I would probably never leave the house. I don't like people. I mean, I love everyone, but I don't like to be around people. And I think it's a part of it, and you may have the same thing, because I feel like you do have, like, very empathic abilities, and I feel like people drain you, you know. And so it's very, so you need to really work on your protection and on grounding and keeping yourself, but try to force yourself. It's like, you know how when you don't feel like getting out of the house, but when you finally do and you've noticed that the sun's shining and it's kind of warm, if it's ever warming again, and, you know, and that, you know, and that there's a song playing on the radio that you really like, and the, you know, and you get that kind of happy feeling, and you would have never felt that way had you not forced yourself to get out. So try, and it doesn't have to be a lot, and it doesn't have to be often, but try to do more things. If somebody asks you to do it, you know, don't just say no. Say, okay, this time I'll go, or this, not this time, but maybe next time I'll go, and do go one of those times, you know? Just a little bit more.
I have a couple of friends that have been wanting to get together to do lunch or something like that, and that's kind of like, yeah, we do need to do that. Yes, we will do that. It will be
we'll
in
do
2014.
Just,
I'm going to have to do it.
Yes.
I know.
Well, this year, and you know what? January to me was a non-month. And so don't be beating yourself up because you didn't get all your, you know, what is it called, resolutions or revelations, whatever we're supposed to do in the 1st of January. This was a non-month. So you don't, you know, we can start at any time.
March sounds good. It's starting
exactly.
Yeah.
We could have February be a non-month, too. We'll just say that it was just a period of time for rest between the end of 1 year and the beginning, and our year begins in March.
Mm-hmm.
We got to celebrate Corrine's birthday all next month anyway, so.
Oh, that's right. The whole month.
The whole month. So we could just start our year in March when we're recovered from the hangover. You know?
No, but I was going to say to Yvette, Christy works her freaking ass off at a job where I think she's underappreciated.
Underpaid, I know that much.
And underpaid.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, and you know, that's common, unfortunately. Unless you're working for yourself, it's very common to be underappreciated and underpaid. And, you know, of course you can't just, you know, say I'm not going to work anymore.
No,
you know, but
Spirit has a tendency to do that to me, though, but it might have been an agreement that I had on the other side, because I've been laid off twice in my work career, and it's been the period of unemployment has averaged about 2 years in between the two jobs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, if I live to be able to retire, which I think I'm going to probably die and still have to work 5 more years before I can retire. I heard that.
Oh my God!
I'm going, that's got to be me, but not really. I hope not. I hope one day I can retire at least for a year before I pass on, so I can have a little fun.
Christy, at least
see,
a year.
I see. I'm putting off my fun for that last year before I pass.
Well, you need to have fun now too, though.
I really do.
You got to build fun into your life. You got to schedule it into your life just like you would something like car maintenance or getting gas, you know, because you got to have fun. Got to have fun, and you got to enjoy life, and you can create whatever you want for yourself. It just, you know, it sounds simple and easy, and really it is. It's just getting there takes a lot of work, you know,
mm-hmm.
Getting to that point of understanding that. But really you can create for yourself what you want. And then people are going to, you know, you get this life and then people look at you and they'll say, well, you're so lucky. And you're like, oh, hell no, I'm not lucky. I earned this.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
You know, I earned this. Luck had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. Christy, did you ever go and listen to that reading that Renee gave you that time, re-listen to it?
Yes.
I think that was amazing.
Yes, I do too.
Oh, my God. Yvette, you got to hear this reading that she gave to Christy.
I always miss Renee's show. Always miss it. I don't know why. It must be a funny time for me. Because I always look up in its past time, and I don't realize that it, you know, we don't always get our notifications from Blog Talk the way we should.
This is true. If it wasn't for Facebook, I wouldn't know when some of these shows are except for Curious Times.
Because that's every
night at the same time, but some of these others, it's like, oops.
That kind of hop around you.
Yeah.
Is Christy, do you know if Kathy is okay at Kathy's Distant Echoes? Because I haven't seen her show lately.
What I've kind of seen, I think I saw something that she's been sick.
She probably has an H1N1 that I had for 3 weeks. That stuff's bad. It flattened me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's horrible stuff.
My neighbor had it. Really?
Yeah, I had it. My neighbor had it. She claims I'm patient zero, but there was other people in the United States that had it before me.
I do know that in my area, more of the bronchitis, pneumonia, upper respiratory stuff,
mm-hmm.
of the people that are my friends that I do see, that they've had that versus the norovirus stuff, which I'd rather have the bronchitis stuff, even though I have a fear of suffocation. I just stay up till it goes away.
Yeah.
Literally, I cannot sleep if I have a cold. If I do, I'll sleep every other night a couple of hours.
Are you scared to go to bed, to go to sleep?
It triggers me into panic anxiety, mm-hmm. more of anxiety. But it's like any time my sinuses get stopped up, it'll wake me up, and I'm going, this is it. I can't breathe. I've got to get up till it clears up.
I wonder what past life thing that is.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if it is a past life thing.
I've wondered about that since in the last year, since I've been hearing about past life. And Candy has asked for volunteers for going back doing a past life regression. And anytime she posts it, I keep going, still thinking. don't laugh out loud because I am. Because I'm really not sure if she could regress me, because I have problems with being hypnotized. But I thought I was at an event once, and it was a shaman there, and he was showing a little example of, you know, what he does. And I was sitting there, I had my eyes closed and kind of like, I don't think I'm meditating, but maybe I do. And out of nowhere, something touched my leg, and I quickly opened my eyes, and there wasn't anything around me.
Mm.
So I saw the instructor the next day, and he says, yes, sometimes spirit does touch you during one of those.
Well, you can say no.
Whatever it was. And I'd be kind of like to know if in one of my lives I've drowned or something.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
Something with suffocation, anyway.
Yeah.
Something where you couldn't breathe, where you couldn't, you know. Yeah, that would trigger anxiety in me too, I think. So I've had a soul retrieval done by a shaman, which was interesting. What I like about it, and what's different about it in the past life regression, is you don't have to do anything. They just go. You sort of anchor the energy for them, and they go on the soul retrieval, and then they come back and they tell you what they saw and describe to you what they saw. So you don't have to visualize anything, and you just have to see if what they're saying resonates with you.
And I had that done too, Yvette, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
was that better for you than the past life regression? Because I know you didn't have a good
when I tried to get the past life done from Candy, I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do it. I mean, I just wasn't. You know, I mean, she said, "Do you see the doors?" And I'm like, "If I told you I saw doors, I'd be lying. I don't see anything."
Right. Mm-hmm.
So she said that I didn't have any past lives. Now, that's a lot different than what Renee told me and other people. So, who knows?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know a lot about past lives. And I actually have come around to the theory recently that we're living all of those lives at once, that it's more of a dimension thing.
Yeah, like the timeline.
Which kind of changes everything.
I'm having a hard enough time dealing with one timeline. You know what I mean?
I know. Well, it explains why we're so tired, though, right?
I don't know.
It's hard to be Joan Van Ark or what? Joan of Arc, not Joan Van Ark, but Joan Van Ark. Joan of Arc in one life and be Bella's mom in this life, you know? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no shit, right? Forget it.
But anyway, so I've been thinking about that ever since, who was it, Barbara told me I was a slider.
Yeah.
And I slid between the world, the dimensions and stuff like that. And then Candy told me I was a demon hunter, so I was like, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's probably what I do all night, why I can't sleep, because I'm demon hunting in a different dimension.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Now, some people say that we travel when we sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really don't know about that. Now, some of the strange dreams I do have that I can remember, I'm always hanging around people I don't know.
Right.
It's like everybody's a stranger. So maybe I am.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I don't want to go out much.
Because you went out all night?
Yeah. I'm out in the morning while I'm asleep.
Exactly.
You know, I'm out running around, and there has been times that it's like I ran around all damn night in my dreams, and it's kind of like when I woke up, it's like I'm exhausted.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Gee.
I've had some strange dreams where I worked all night trying to you know, do some aspect of my work and then wake up and I'm just as tired as I was before I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm like you, I just don't sleep. I just quit. When I get in one of those modes, I just quit sleeping. I might as well stay up and read or something.
Yeah.
Because I'm not resting. You know, I don't think any of us get really good rest.
Right.
I haven't since Bella was born, really.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
That's a long
time. Well, I think I just become, you know, very hyper-vigilant. And I was thinking about that because I used to have vivid dreams and I used to do a lot of traveling in my dreams and stuff. But I don't do that so much. Every once in a while I will. But I wonder if it's not just because, you know, ever since she was born, I've been hyper-vigilant. You know, you lay awake listening to the breeze when they're a little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and then I kind of do the same thing now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In a different, you know, it's not quite as bad, but so I don't know. Maybe I don't do as much traveling as I used to.
Mhm.
Well, I think I do, and I love my dreams. I love to go to sleep and dream, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they can be nice and interesting, especially if I'm around people I like in my dreams and I actually know them.
Right. Christy, do you dream about your mother and father?
When I dream about my mother, which is kind of funny, when I dream about her, I never see her, but I feel her presence and I know she's there, like... it might be in the house that I basically grew up in, and she would be upstairs, and I'd be downstairs, and I'd be talking to her from the stairs, which we did in real life, but I've never seen my mother in a dream. Now, my father, I have, and he was so clear. I'm almost positive it was a visit. The only weird thing is that we were at his sister's funeral that's still alive. She's old. She's like 94, 95. I'm not sure which. And she was born in 1919. She'll be 95 or 96 this year. She was born in December, so she just turned 94, 95. And my father was all dressed, all decked out like he usually was when he was going somewhere. And my brother and sister were on each side of him. I was kind of over towards the side by my sister. And my father was talking to us. Then he stood up and he says, "Let's go to my sister's funeral," or something like that to us who've been out married. And I went, okay, scared the living daylights out of me. I went to see Aunt Mary, and she was okay at the time. I haven't seen her in about a year, which I feel bad about, but she has the dementia, and I need to call her daughter to see how she is doing. So if I get there and she doesn't recognize me, they'll be prepared.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
that's better than the other aunt. My other aunt was in a hospital. She had been there for several weeks, and they were expecting her to pass, and I hadn't heard anything. So I went up to the hospital one day, went down to her room, saw this man, and I said, her husband's been dead since 1980. I don't think my aunt's here. Walked back down the hall, and one of the nurses that had seen me up there before took me over to the side and said, "They haven't told you, have they?" And I go, "No, they haven't told me anything." And she said, "Well, she passed about 3 o'clock this afternoon." This was about 8 o'clock that night.
Right.
And I started calling the other cousins to let them know, because I usually was the one who called people when they were in the hospital or died or something. And son of a gun, everybody else knew.
Oh.
I'm going, Now, my sister and brother did not know. My father was helping my cousin with the funeral arrangements for his sister, but forgot to call his own doggone kids, let them know that the aunt died, but called his nieces and nephews. Made no sense to me.
Right. Who was the guy in the room?
I have no. Some they had moved another patient in there.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Yeah, it was kind of like, what the hell, you know? I mean, my aunt, before she passed, the last time I seen her, was talking about the good-looking guy over there. And my cousin and I just kind of looked at each other and said, I believe she sees somebody, but hell if I know who she is.
Right.
I don't know if it's her husband, you know, her deceased husband. To me, he wasn't the best-looking man, but he wasn't the ugliest-looking man either that I've seen, so, you know.
Right.
I'm just going, okay. Then she started talking about the graveyard, and my cousin and I were looking at each other going, oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Jesus.
So it's like, okay, she's starting to see the other side.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, this life and death thing, it's a hell of a freaking ride, huh? Jesus.
It really is.
The grand adventure.
Yeah, grand.
My great-granddaddy always said, life is grand if you don't weaken.
Really?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
It's true.
Jeez.
It is grand if you don't weaken, because it is rough on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's rough. I know.
But there's also such joy and, you know, ecstasy.
I agree. Yeah,
true.
I know.
True.
Well, should we head over to Chris's show?
Yep.
Yep. thank you, Yvette.
I got to finish the – you're welcome for the reading. I hope it helped.
Yes, it did. I'll read, listen to it. I'll try to figure out which aha moment you're talking about.
Right.
Could be many. It could be all of them together, but don't hoard it. Use it.
Oh, don't hoard it. Use it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Christy, I'll see you later. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
And thank you, Yvette.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it. It was fun. Always have fun.
Okay. I'll see you. I'll talk to you soon. I'll see you over at the show, perhaps.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.